we come on the air tonight, the intense battle to save the giant redwoods. A wildfire now threatens one of America's natural wonders in Yosemite National Park. Hundreds of firefighters are on the scene using planes to fight the flames. One aircraft narrowly missing flying debris. Crews setting up sprinklers as the fire burns out of control. Some of those sequoias thousands of years old. Hundreds of people evacuated during one of the busiest times for the park. Our Will Carr is standing by. Those flames fueled by the relentless drought with no end in sight for much of the West. Scorching summer heat is spreading across the country. Temperatures feel like the triple digits, breaking records in Texas. And we're tracking severe storms that threaten millions and are moving east. Rob Marciano is timing it all out. Major new developments in the January 6th investigation. Steve Bannon, a powerful player in the Trump White House, now says he's willing to testify. The reaction from committee members and what we're learning about the key testimony of former White House counsel Pat Cipollone. The Omicron subvariants are surging. Nearly three quarters of the U.S. population now live in areas with medium or high risk for COVID. What we're learning about a new variant now identified in the U.S. New York City once again urging people to mask up and when the next generation of Omicron targeted vaccines might be available. The fire scare for a Spirit Airlines flight, flames and smoke billowing from the landing gear moments after touching down in Atlanta. Passengers told to stay in their seats. The deadly strike in Ukraine, civilians trapped in the rubble of their apartment buildings, the urgent search for survivors. New details on the investigation into the assassination of former Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, what officials are now saying about the suspect, the gun, and a possible motive. And America Strong, the beloved mailman, retiring after decades on the same route, what his customers did that he'll never forget.
ABC News World Headquarters in New York. This is World News Tonight.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us on this Sunday. I'm Lindsay Davis. As we come on the air tonight, a major effort is now underway in Yosemite National Park in California. A wildfire is burning out of control and threatening one of the nation's natural wonders, the park's grove of giant sequoia trees. Firefighters are using all means available to them to protect the ancient trees. Planes are dropping fire retardant. The area around the Mariposa Grove is now closed. All visitors there have been told to evacuate. Hundreds of firefighters on the ground are digging lines and clearing dead brush. The extreme drought is only fueling the fire. Crews are setting up sprinklers to protect the 3,000-year-old grizzly giant. That tree, the second tallest in the park, reaches well over 200 feet. The fire currently spans nearly 1,600 acres with hot and dry conditions expected to persist. ABC's Will Carr leads us off tonight.
Tonight, the urgent battle to save the iconic giant sequoias in Yosemite National Park from the airplanes dropping water and that bright red fire retardant. The intense flames and heat sending debris hundreds of feet into the air, reportedly causing a near miss for one plane.
A branch went right over the top of us, pretty good size. So if we keep seeing that, we might have to knock it off. I don't want to take a chance of busting a window on an airplane or
on the ground, firefighters digging lines and clearing dead brush. The active flames of the Washburn fire captured in this aerial video. The fire scorching nearly 1,600 acres in 3 days. It's 0% contained. 360 firefighters working on the front line.
Looks pretty scary, and we're going full force on our suppression tactics.
Smoke from the fire expected to cause major problems for the surrounding area. In the middle of a busy tourist season, up to 700 people staying nearby given evacuation orders, but some choosing to stay in the area and wait it out.
Plan on staying here at the park for a few days, but I guess we'll see.
Park officials say the fire sparked Thursday, fueled by extreme drought.
Kind of heartbreaking. You feel afraid for the people in the town of Winona, and then just heartbroken about the trees.
Fire crews desperately trying to protect Mariposa Grove, the largest area of ancient sequoias in Yosemite. The sprinkler system, increasing humidity in the area around the 209-foot-tall grizzly giant, the second largest tree in Yosemite.
Lots of concern about those trees. Will Carr joins us now. And Will, we know that the extreme heat and drought are fueling the flames. What are you learning about the conditions heading into the work week?
That's right, Lindsay. While crews are racing to save those sequoias, it's going to be hot and dry across this region this week. We are still in the middle of a mega drought, and veteran firefighters tell me it's going to be a long fire season. Lindsay.
Will, thank you so much. And as we just heard, the drought and scorching temperatures are fueling fires across the West. Crews are battling the Halfway Hill Fire in Utah. That blaze has grown to more than 7,000 acres. Evacuations have been ordered there as well. And there's a severe weather threat that's moving east tonight. Let's go straight to ABC's senior meteorologist Rob Marciano. Rob, is there any relief from the drought in sight?
I'm afraid not, Lindsay, especially in California, where nearly that entire state is under severe drought. And look at that map that extends through the Great Basin. We've got extreme and exceptional drought in Las Vegas and now also into Texas, where today the heat was extreme again. We saw records blasted in places like Austin and College Station. Temperatures got up in over 110 in those spots. No better tomorrow in San Antonio and Houston. 111 for a heat index there. That's dangerous heat. Meanwhile, the threat for severe weather tonight across the upper Midwest, tomorrow into Chicago, and by Tuesday here in the Northeast. Lindsay.
All right, Rob, thanks to you. Next tonight, one-time top advisor to former President Trump now says he will cooperate with the January 6th committee. Steve Bannon, who left the White House back in 2017 but remained close to Trump, now says that he's willing to testify. And tonight we're learning more about the appearance of former White House counsel Pat Cipollone and what he said under oath. ABC's Kenneth Moten is in Washington.
Tonight, Steve Bannon reversing course. The former Trump White House strategist now saying he's willing to testify before the January 6th committee. Bannon for months in a legal battle, facing trial for criminal contempt charges after defying a congressional subpoena. The committee has said there's evidence that Bannon had specific knowledge about January 6th before the attack on the Capitol, pointing to his own words on his podcast the day before.
All hell is going to break loose tomorrow.
Former President Trump and Bannon at first claiming executive privilege, even though Bannon was a private citizen that day, having left the administration in 2017. In a letter obtained by ABC News, Bannon's attorney writing, "While Mr. Bannon has been steadfast in his convictions, circumstances have now changed." Those circumstances, Trump informing Bannon that he's waiving his objections because "I watched how unfairly you and others have been treated."
The committee, of course, has not yet had a chance to discuss it, but I expect that we will be hearing from him, and there are many questions that we have for him.
Bannon's reversal comes a day after former Trump White House counsel Pat Cipollone testified behind closed doors for roughly 8 hours. In a recorded interview, the committee asked Cipollone detailed questions about pardons, false election fraud claims, and the pressure Trump placed on Vice President Mike Pence to overturn the election.
You'll see over the next couple hearings a little of what he said. Certainly you'll see a lot of that in the report, but at no point was there any contradiction of what anybody said.
Significant to hear that there were no contradictions. Kenneth Moten joins us now live from Capitol Hill. Cipollone's recorded testimony is expected to take center stage at the final public hearings this week, but Kenneth, Steve Bannon wants to testify live.
That's right, Lindsay. Steve Bannon's attorney says he prefers to testify at the public hearing, not behind closed doors. But one committee member is saying they want all their questions answered, which can't be done in a live format. Bannon's apparent cooperation comes ahead of a hearing in his criminal contempt case tomorrow. Lindsay.
Lots of interest in what Bannon has to say under oath there. Kenneth, our thanks to you, David, and the entire ABC News team will be here for live coverage and analysis of the January 6th committee's public hearing on Tuesday. And we turn now to that scare for passengers on board a Spirit Airlines flight that had just arrived in Atlanta. Smoke can be seen coming from its landing gear, visible to the passengers who were still on board and told to remain seated. An update now from ABC's Elwin Lopez from the Atlanta airport.
Tonight, the terrifying moments on board a Spirit Airlines flight upon landing at Atlanta's International Airport.
Go back to your seats. We do not have to evacuate.
Flight attendants urging calm as several passengers get up from their seats, smoke billowing under the plane as it hit the runway.
If we do have to evacuate, please just leave your bags.
Another pilot on the ground watching it all unfold, alerting air traffic controllers.
Spirit has holding short. His brakes are on fire. Left brakes are on fire.
We're calling them right now. I just saw that.
Scotty Neal's capturing this moment from his seat and tonight telling me he knew something was wrong when the plane touched down.
The first time I heard the boom, I'm like, what's going on? But nobody looked around at first. And then once we got parked, that's when everyone saw the flames.
In a statement to ABC News, Spirit Airlines said the flight from Tampa to Atlanta landed safely in Atlanta International Airport, and upon landing, one of the brakes overheated, adding that the aircraft was towed to the gate. And Lindsay, the airline says there were no reported injuries. As for that plane, it has been removed from service for now. Lindsay?
Scary moments for sure. Elwin, thank you. Next tonight, the growing concern over the Omicron subvariants that are now surging across the country. Nearly three quarters of the U.S. population now live in a medium or high community risk level for the spread of the virus. In New York City, people are once again being told to mask up indoors or outside in crowds. Here's ABC's Phil Lipoff from New York tonight.
Tonight, nearly three quarters of the U.S. population living in areas with medium or high risk for COVID. High risk counties in orange here on both coasts, from California to New York City, where people are being urged once again to wear masks indoors, even outside in large crowds. And health experts now concerned about new variants emerging this summer.
Previous infections from Omicron are not giving us the same level of antibody protection against the newer variants. You could theoretically be infected with multiple Omicron subvariants.
The BA.5 subvariant now making up more than half of all cases. And scientists closely watching new variant, BA.2.75. Only two cases so far in the U.S., but it's been discovered in about 10 other countries.
The mutations in Omicron BA.5's spike protein give it the ability to be incredibly infectious and escape antibodies. And Omicron BA.2.75 has even more mutations.
The FDA now expanding access to the antiviral drug Paxlovid, allowing roughly 300,000 pharmacists, not just doctors and select medical professionals, to prescribe the pills. With 67% of the country fully vaccinated, hospitalizations are just a quarter of what they were in January at the peak of Omicron. Still, 71 million Americans haven't received a single shot. Both Moderna and Pfizer have indicated they will have data available on an Omicron-specific booster this October, though it's still unclear right now who will be eligible for it, how much supply there will be of it, and will it even be effective against the variants that are out there at the time. Lindsay?
People being urged to get vaccinated now and not necessarily wait. Phil, our thanks to you. We turn now to the Russian invasion of Ukraine, and tonight the urgent search to pull survivors from the rubble of yet another deadly rocket attack on civilians. At least 15 people were killed in the strike. This man was rescued and rushed to a hospital. 20 more people are believed to still be trapped in the ruins of the apartment buildings. ABC's Tom Soupy Burge reports tonight from Kyiv.
Man, those are civilian buildings.
Yeah, civilian building.
Tonight, anger and fear amid a Russian attack. A missile has just landed, then this. A second strike caught in this video circulating online. Hours later, they're still pulling survivors out. Dozens thought to be trapped under the rubble. Hard to imagine that there were two high-rise apartment blocks here. The death toll of 15 tonight, almost certain to rise. President Zelensky calling the attack Russian terror. Resident Irina saying they're scared of the night because they don't know what it will bring. But Ukraine says these US-supplied precision HIMARS rocket systems are scaring the Russian military. US officials saying eight now in action in Ukraine with a promise of four more. But tonight, a Ukrainian presidential advisor telling me 12 HIMARS isn't enough.
It's better to have them, not 12, but 112. It will change the situation on the front line dramatically and very fast.
That Ukrainian official saying it's vital that Ukraine retakes territory in the south before winter sets in. Their fear that winter will create a deadlock, giving Russia time to consolidate its control over newly occupied land. Lindsay?
Tom, thank you. We turn now to the urgent investigation into the assassination of former Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. The suspect was moved today from the police station where he was being held. Authorities are now releasing more details about how they say he prepared for the attack. And tonight, Abe's party is making a strong showing in the country's elections just days after his killing. Here's ABC's Bob Woodruff from Tokyo for us tonight.
Tonight, authorities in Japan say the suspect charged in the stunning assassination of former Prime Minister Shinzo Abe planned the attack for months. Abe gunned down in broad daylight at a campaign event. Police say the suspected shooter, 41-year-old Tsuya Yamagami, seen here loitering before allegedly shooting Abe from behind, took a train to the event. And officials are now investigating whether he attended a speech by the 67-year-old Abe the day before the attack. Sources telling Japanese media the suspect test-fired the homemade gun in preparation for the murder. Investigators say that gun is about 15 inches long, capable of shooting 6 projectiles at a time, and was made from 2 metal pipes taped together, similar to a shotgun. Officials say they seized several more homemade guns from the suspect's apartment. Police say the suspected shooter confessed, telling investigators he killed Abe because he believed rumors about the former prime minister's association with a religious group he blamed for his mother's financial ruin.
Lindsay, police acknowledge problems with Abe's security, so they're launching a task force to investigate. Also, the candidate Abe was campaigning for when he was shot won today's election. Abe is set to be laid to rest on Tuesday. Lindsay.
All right, Bob, our thanks to you. Next tonight, free speech advocates are calling a new Arizona law that restricts the filming of police unconstitutional. Proponents say the measure is meant to protect officers. The legislation, which the governor signed on Wednesday, makes it illegal to film police from less than 8 feet away after receiving a verbal warning. If Minnesota had a law like this, it may have prevented bystanders from filming George Floyd's murder in 2020. And there's still much more ahead on World News Tonight. This Sunday, a teenager brutally murdered on a New York City subway. What we're learning about a person of interest now in custody. And amid a rise in shark sightings, how officials are trying to calm the waters after 2 recent bites.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our 2 interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially 4 trials facing former President Trump as he makes his 3rd bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Next tonight, a 15-year-old is facing murder and weapon charges after the fatal stabbing of a 14-year-old at a New York subway station on Saturday afternoon. Investigators say the stabbing followed an argument between Ethan Reyes and the older boy. It's just the latest in a series of violent incidents that have unnerved New York subway riders. And New York is stepping up beach patrols after an increase in shark sightings and 2 attacks. Long Island officials told beachgoers there is no reason to be afraid, but swimmers are advised to stay out of unprotected waters and to make sure they can be seen by a lifeguard at all times. To the index now, less pain at the pump as gas prices continue to decline. The national average for a gallon of gas is $4.68, according to AAA. Prices at the pump have been falling now for nearly a month. That's reportedly the longest streak of decline since April of 2020, but prices are still about $1.60 higher than a year ago. A big shakeup with the ranking of one of the nation's best colleges. U.S. News and World Report unranked Columbia University from its 2022 edition. The magazine says it could not verify data the Ivy League school previously submitted. Columbia was in a 3-way tie for 2nd place with Harvard and MIT. And a big comeback at Wimbledon today. Novak Djokovic defeating Nick Kyrgios for his 21st Grand Slam title. This is his 4th straight victory at the All England Club and his 7th overall. It's also his first major Grand Slam victory since he was booted from Australia earlier this year for not being vaccinated against COVID-19. Finally tonight, for 40 years, neither snow nor rain nor heat nor gloom of night could keep him from his appointed rounds. And now the community is showing him their gratitude. After decades of delivering,
unbelievable. I'm not worthy.
Scott Arnold was finally on the receiving end, getting the surprise of his life from grateful postal customers on this, his last day on the job.
When I turned the corner and there's like 125 people standing out in the middle of the road, it was like, I've never had a rush like that in my life.
Have a good retirement.
Have a good retirement.
You've touched us all deeply. We love you, Scott.
Yeah, we're gonna miss you, Scott.
Delivering mail for the U.S. Postal Service to 400 houses in the same McLean, Virginia neighborhood for nearly 40 years. Customers along his route posted all kinds of thank yous and farewell messages. The secret to his success?
I had two mottos. One of them was, if you're happy, I'm happy. The other one was, all we need, the best for the best.
And he says his customers had a way of making his day better, too.
Their waves and smiles kept me going.
His advice?
Just give it your best all the time that you're doing there, even if you don't like to sometimes.
Thank you all.
And somewhere along the road, he started to see the people on his delivery route as much more than that.
You're all family to me, and you'll always be in my heart. I will never forget this day, never. And I appreciate it.
Love to see that. Thanks so much for watching. David Muir right back here tomorrow. I'm Lindsay Davis. Have a great night.